Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of this morning's sermon, an important message for all of us? Put up your feet and rest. Based on the gospel reading today from Mark 6, these words. The apostles returned to Jesus and told them all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves with me to a quiet place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat." And they went away in the boat with Jesus to a quiet place by themselves. Come, sit down, put up your feet and rest. It's an old-fashioned expression. And a common saying in some parts in the USA are, come, put up your feet and rest a spell. Ever heard that phrase? Rest a spell? Where does that come from? In this case, a spell comes from the old English word gespelia, which means a substitute. So, for example, a group of workers in a factory would substitute for others at their break time so the other workers could sit and rest a spell. The gespelia, the substitute, would spell you off from work so you could relax. My grandmother used to say to us on our old dairy farm on a hot summer August day after we had milked the cows and brought in the hay and got ready for the chores, she'd said, "Boys, come in, sit down, have a cold drink, put up your feet, and rest a spell." I remember how glorious on a summer hot afternoon was a nice ice-cold glass of homemade lemonade from my grandmother. And the older I get, the more I'm realizing the value of rest and reflection and the unhealthiness of being so darn busy, running around, as it said, like a chicken with their head cut off. That would be a saying to investigate, too. Where does that come from? I can tell you, from coming on the farm. How many of you feel like you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off? So busy, so much to do. Busyness. I'm too busy. How often have you heard somebody else say that? Or you yourself have said that. How you doing? Well, I'm so busy. It's been said that busyness could be called the sickness or disease of our time. Is busyness a badge of honor or it is a sign of a problem? How are you? I'm so busy. This response almost seems to be worn like a badge of honor. I'm so busy. I'm so important. But I wonder, could our busyness be a sign of a spiritual problem? Let's look at the apostles in the gospel reading today from Mark chapter 6. They had been busy teaching, healing, spreading the gospel. Verse 31 says, "For many were coming and going, and the disciples had no leisure even to eat." And what did Jesus do? He did not give them another task to add to their to-do list. No, he gave them an invitation. He said, "Boys, come with me. Come with me away to a quiet place so I can give you rest." It was time for the disciples to sit down, put up their feet, and with Jesus, rest a spell. Once there in a quiet place with Jesus, we can just imagine he gave them rest, he gave them care, and he gave them teaching rest. They were able to set aside their busy schedules and to-do lists. Care. We can almost hear Jesus say to them, "Come unto me, you are heavy laden, burdened, and busy, and I will give you rest." Teaching. I wonder what he spoke to them about. Maybe finding rest and strength in the arms of the Heavenly Father and realizing something we all need to realize. Everything does not depend upon us. Could you use the same things today? Almost every one of us could. Because far too often we find our lives busy with so many things, but forget the one thing that's really necessary. What is that one thing needed? Will we take a deep breath, slow down, and pause long enough to discover what it is? Will we listen to Jesus' words when he said, "What does it profit a person to gain the whole world, but to lose their soul?" I must admit, I have concerns today for many young people. Grade school, high school, early university, young people. They're just too busy all the time. And it's not healthy physically or mentally or spiritually. No time to be a child, no time to be a young person and just play and enjoy this life. But hurry, hurry, get infected with the disease that already plagues your parents. Busyness with no time to waste. I'm not promoting laziness, but I'm encouraging our young folks to enjoy and not listen to the lies of the world around. Hurry, hurry, produce, produce. I'm concerned for more than a few families of our congregation. When as their pastors, I've tried to call them and make a home visit, and they would say, "Oh, pastor, I'm sorry, we're just too busy. We have too many events in our calendar." Why? Is busy really better? Are we trading life's simple joys for packed calendars and ulcers? Look at your own life. Is busy really better? In my 40 years of ministry, believe it or not, when I started this thing, I had hair. I had hair as long as McCall's. Stand up, McCall, just for a minute. I'm going to embarrass you. I used to have hair that long. Can you believe it? 40 years of ministry, it wears your hair off. In 40 years of being a pastor, I have never held the hand of a person dying who said to me, "Oh, pastor, if I could have just gone to one more meeting, if I could have just squeezed two more activities into our family calendar last Saturday." No one has ever said that. What is the one thing needed that Jesus talks about? Will you slow down, pause, and take time long enough to discover it? Will you sit down at Jesus' feet and rest a spell? There's another biblical story that deals with the same thing, not just the apostles in Mark 6, but with two women named Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10. Same issue. Listen to the text. Jesus and his disciples were on their way. They came to a village called Bethany, where a woman named Martha opened her home to them. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by and busy by all the preparations she had to make. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will never be taken from her." We see in the text that Mary sat at Jesus' feet. This is a biblical expression meaning to act as a student, to respect and honor a teacher, to quietly receive guidance and instruction. I am so humbled Sunday after Sunday. Some of you should sit in on our huge adult instruction class every Sunday morning at 9:30. And these faithful people who come Sunday after Sunday, so much respect for the pastor and God's word, sitting at my feet, so to speak. That it says that Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. Mary had made Jesus' chair a pulpit. She made her place at his feet her church pew. and her home became a church sanctuary. But what about her sister Martha? The text says she was too busy. Verse 40 says she was distracted by many things. She decided she had to clean the house, prepare the meal, get everything ready because Jesus was coming. Now, these aren't bad things that Martha were doing, but the point is, her constant busyness got in the way of her sitting at Jesus' feet. And she was upset that her sister Mary had said no to all the busyness so she could sit there with Jesus. What about you and me today? Ask yourselves this question. What are the things in my life that are getting in the way of me and maybe my family sitting at Jesus' feet? I remember once looking at a cartoon. It's a cartoon called The Small Society. This cartoon aims its humor at exposing the realities of our modern life. In this cartoon, it showed a father and a son talking. The teenage boy is slouched into his chair, looking very sad and depressed. The father says to him this, and let me quote what the father says. "Well, son, of course, we all want to have a purpose in life. But I promise you, as you get older, you'll soon be so busy working and so busy making a living, you won't have time to worry about a purpose in life." My dear friends, today's message is a call to join the apostles and join Mary and Martha to come with Jesus to a quiet place, to sit a spell with Jesus. Now, will your quiet place be a time of personal or family time of prayer or devotions, like using portals of prayer? Your quiet place can also be faithful attendance at Sunday worship and even Bible class. What a wonderful place to come week after week to sit at Jesus' feet, to receive his good gifts for you. My prayer for each of you is that Sunday being in God's house would not just be one of many things on your family's checklist of things to do, but would be your number one priority for life. Do you remember that the very word Sabbath in Hebrew means rest? Maybe your quiet place is a personal time of prayer and quietness, inviting God to speak to your heart through prayer and meditation. This can be a special place in your home or even nearby. I have a special quiet place. It's a particular bench, 2 blocks from our house, overlooking the Fraser River between Gilbert and True Road. And I sit there whenever I have time to get away from the crowds, to get away from you, and to have quiet time with my Lord, that he could speak to my heart and strengthen me, that I can serve you. Well, it's very possible for you to combine all three: family devotions, Sunday worship, and personal quiet time with the Lord. More than one place of quiet time with your Lord is okay. And please, don't listen to the lies of the devil who whispers in your ear, "You don't have time to have quiet time with God because you're so busy." When we join Sister Mary and the apostles and sit at Jesus in a quiet place, we discover what Jesus said is that one thing needed in our lives. It's the one thing that Jesus gave to his apostles in today's reading from Mark 6. When he said to those men who he loved so dearly, "Boys, I know that you're tired and hassled. Come away with me to a quiet place so I can take care of you." It's that one thing that Mary had that Martha missed. Martha's motto in life was, "Don't just sit there, do something." But Jesus' invitation was just the opposite. "Don't just keep doing something. Sit here with me." It's the one thing you and I cannot live without. As we learn that busy really is not better. It's the one thing that can take you from the terrible busyness of this short life to the eternal realities of hope with God in heaven. What is it? Look on your sermon outline today. It's provided for you. In fact, I apologize. I'm out of practice for a couple of weeks and forgot to tell you to follow your sermon outline. Look in the bottom of your sermon outline. The one thing that's needed, the one thing that God wants all of us to have is there on your sermon outline. It's true and godly rest. When you do a study of true rest in the Bible, you find four things, and I've listed them for you there. Number one, true rest is being in God's presence. Being in God's presence gives us rest. Jesus Christ is Almighty God who has come to this earth in human flesh to die for our sins, to rise to give us forgiveness and the gift of heaven. And He has come to be with us through His Word, through His sacraments. Being in God's presence gives us rest. Number two, God's rest brings peace from our enemies. Jesus is the number one answer to the devil and all his lies in this sinful world that keep pushing us and says to be busy gives you value. Being in Jesus' presence can shut the mouth of the liar. Number three, God's rest means the burden of our sin is taken away. Look at our Lord upon that cross. On that cross, He took your sins. He took mine, the sins of the world. When He cried out, "It is finished," He was saying, "Verna, your sins are all paid for." He was saying, "Marvin, your sins have been forgiven." He's saying, "Kathy, you will live with me forever in heaven." Being in God's presence, God's rest means that the burden of our sin is taken away. We no longer have to bear that. And fourthly, God's rest is finally that eternal rest in heaven. Jesus' resurrection from death has opened the doors of heaven to all who trust in Him. Just this past week, Harold Gould died, left this earthly life, and went to be with Jesus. Harold is that man that I've been visiting these last couple of months in intensive care at Richmond Hospital. He made a glorious appearance one Sunday morning with his wife and his daughter for worship, received Holy Communion. He has gone to glory. I met with the family yesterday. We're planning his memorial service to celebrate his eternal rest. As by God's grace, before he died, shortly putting his faith and trust in Jesus, his Savior. Look at those four parts of rest. True rest, number one, being in God's presence gives us rest. Number two, God's rest brings peace from our enemies. Number three, God's rest means the burden of our sin is taken away. And finally, God's rest is that rest He gives us forever in heaven. We're at the conclusion of the sermon, if you're wondering. Fanny Crosby was a famous hymn writer. Fanny Crosby wrote, somebody researched this for me. She wrote over 3,000 Christian songs and hymns. She wrote hymns like, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." And she wrote hymns like, "To God be the glory, great things He has." I don't have time to sing all 3,000. What is amazing was she wrote all these hymns, although she was blind her entire life. She was born blind. Once a well-meaning pastor came to her and said, "Fanny, it's a shame that with all the blessings God give you, He didn't give you sight." And she quickly said, "You know that if I could wish for one thing, I would wish for this, that I was born blind." "Why?" he asked. She said, "Here are two reasons," and I quote. She said, "Number one, since my earthly eyes don't work, they can't be distracted by all those things that keep sighted people so busy and distracted. It's like having a holy blindness that helps me focus on what's really important in life." Then she also said, "I'm also glad that I'm blind because when I go to heaven, the first thing that I will ever see, the first sight that will gladden my eyes, will be the face of my loving Savior Jesus. Dear Lord, we ask you today to blind our eyes to things that aren't really so important, to help each of us to accept your invitation on a regular basis to join Mary and the apostles, to come away with you, Jesus, to a quiet place that we can sit down, put up our feet and rest, and be loved and cared for by you, our Savior and your Lord. In the name of Jesus, all God's people said, Amen.